Well, good morning, everyone. It's hard to see you guys out there. Those lights are really bright this morning. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at Psalm 1, and we're going to look at some different people that are mentioned there. Do I need to move this or something? Okay. So let's start off. Let's just read through Psalm 1, and then we'll talk some about it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. There are three main groups or topics in this psalm. One is the righteous, then we have the wicked, and then we have the subject of the law of the Lord and delighting ourselves in the Word of God. So what I'm going to do today is I want to talk this morning briefly before our break. I want to talk a little bit about who are the righteous and how does one become righteous? Is it by doing good works? Is it by balancing out the good and the bad in your life and making sure you always have a little bit more good? Is it having good karma or as opposed to bad karma? Is it not being as bad as the person in the pew next to you? What is it that makes one righteous? And so what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about that. At our elders' retreat on Friday night, we were sitting around the kitchen table after dinner and got into a long discussion about what is the gospel? Do we emphasize the gospel enough here at Wichita Bible Church? And so I got to thinking, this is an opportunity to review what the gospel is, because only those who place their trust in Jesus will be considered righteous. And so what does that entail and what does that mean? First of all, we all have to realize that we are sinners, that we cannot on our own stand before a holy God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Each one of us needs to come to that realization that we are not fit to be in the presence of God. Second thing we need to realize is that because of our sin, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to realize that our sinfulness deserves death, but that God has provided a way for us in Christ to stand before Him as righteous. Romans 5:8 says, "When we were yet enemies with God, He shows His love for us while we were still sinners." We need to understand that God has provided that. A good passage to kind of familiarize yourself with is out of Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 8. I just want to read through that. I think this gives us a good picture of salvation. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. That's who we were. We bought into the world system. We followed the world system for a number of years in our lives. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, and I think you have to really understand that, it's by God's mercy that any of us can sit here and come before God today. Because of the great love which with He loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespass, He loved us. And He made a way for us to become saved, become righteous before Him. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So the righteous in this psalm are those who have placed their trust in Christ. We're going to look at the results. What is the result of being righteous before God? And then we're going to look at the wicked. What's the result of remaining in that category of people? And then we're going to look at what are the benefits of meditating on the law of the Lord. Mark shared with me this morning that he saw a bumper sticker this week that said, it's something like this. There are lots of decisions in life, but there are only two for eternity. And what we want to do today is make sure that we wind up on the side of the righteous. That's our choice. Not the world, but following after Christ is our choice. So when we come back from the break, we're going to pick up Psalm 1. We're going to go through each of these groups, talk a little bit about them, and then some exhortation at the end on meditating on the law of the Lord. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then we have refreshments in the back, and then we'll come back in about 15 minutes. Father, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that we would take it to heart, that we would be challenged to walk in a more demonstrative way for you, that we would not let the things of this world distract us from you, that we would find joy in being in your presence, and we would find joy in being in your word on a daily basis. Thank you for the way that you've provided mercy and grace to us through your Son, Jesus. We're thankful that He died a death that would substitute for our sins. And that now we have the privilege of coming before you and standing righteously before you because of His work. Help us always remember that it's His work that got us into a right relationship with you. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Psalm 1. I want to read through the passage one more time, just to get everyone familiar with it. And then I'm going to break it up for you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So we talked about earlier that there were three different groups of people: the righteous, the wicked, and then the third subject we're going to look at is the law of the Lord. And what I did is I took this passage and I broke it up. And I moved some verses around so that we're going to look at the verses that pertain to the righteous. We're going to look at the ones that pertain to the wicked. And then we're going to look at the ones that talk about meditating on the Lord. I hope I don't get you lost in the process, but we're going to be jumping around within this psalm just a little bit. So the righteous. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. We saw this word blessed back when we did the study of the Beatitudes. And it means either to be happy or joyful or fortunate. And then what we will do later on is we will look at this phrase a little more intently as we talk about delighting in the word of the Lord. But notice here, people who delight themselves in the word, who meditate on it day and night, are happy or have favor in the sight of God. It's the only thing I want to emphasize out of this right now. The righteous does not do the following. He does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. If you remember in our study in 1 John 2:15-16, it says this: Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from this world. We have to be very careful how we interact with this world. And as we go through this, when we look at meditating on the word, we'll look at this a little more intently. But there are three stages basically stated here, each one of them more progressively involved in the world. We want to make sure that we're not being involved in the world. The result of righteousness and meditating in the Word of God is that he will be planted by streams of water. And if you think about this, a tree that is planted near water has a continual source of nutrients. It doesn't have to go dormant because it doesn't have any food. It always has food. And I find it interesting in this passage that it says that it yields fruit in its season. And I would take that to mean that each one of us yields its fruit in our own season. There's not this, you get saved, and in 5 weeks you're here, in 10 weeks you're here, in a year you're out witnessing for the Lord. There's no time frame set for our growth. But there is growth here, and then fruit will be produced at some point in time in your life. But that's only if you're connected with the stream of eternal nutrients. And its leaf does not wither. There are not very many trees whose leaf does not wither. And so, to me, this implies that we will always have signs of life when we are connected back to the stream, back to the Word. If we are in the Word on a regular basis, we will show signs of life. And the result is to prosper. And we'll talk a little bit later about what it means to prosper and some misconceptions along that line, those lines. The final result for the righteous is that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows our goings and our comings. He knows us. He sees us. He hears us when we pray in our closets, like it says in Matthew 6. He knows us when we go through tough times. He's there. Psalm 31, verses 7 and 8 says this: I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. God knows everything that we go through. And He's there with us. And He's there to help us and protect us and to set our way on the right path. And then in Revelations, we have that our names will be written in the book of life. And so He knows us. And I think it's important that we understand that He knows and understands everything that we go through. The wicked. The wicked walk in the counsel of other evil people, of other wicked people. When it says walk, it's that way of life. Their way of life mirrors the other people in this world. They stand in the way of sinners. And if you think about this, when you're walking along with someone, that's kind of a casual type thing. When you stop and you stand with somebody, that's when you have more intimate conversations a lot of times. I was thinking of the picture came to my mind of the people standing around the water cooler at work, which I haven't been in a workplace that has a water cooler for a long time. But the people standing around in the hallway and talking and gossiping and all of those things they do in the hallway at work. That's what it's like to stand with sinners, to sit with scoffers. Proverbs, it says this about the scoffer. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride. When you find yourself seated with those people, sharing life, you are in real trouble. And you need to run and flee. You need to get into the Word of God and go back. But the scoffer is a vile person that we don't want to have associations with. The wicked will not, or does not, stand in the judgment. In the final judgment in Revelation, they will be ashamed. They will be cast into the lake of fire. They will not be in the presence of God ever again. And they won't stand in the congregation of the righteous. There's no one that's going to sneak in. No one's going to pretend that they're righteous and get into the kingdom of God. If you look at Matthew 13:49, it says this: So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous. No one's going to pretend their way through. God will separate out the righteous and the evil. We don't have to worry about that. The result for the wicked, they are like chaff. If you know anything about chaff, it's the wasteful part of the wheat that is separated from the seed. And it's usually, in the day of Israel, they actually saved that stuff and they used it in their fires. They burned it up. There is nothing good about chaff. And God's going to take care of it and drive it away from us. Just as the chaff cannot stand or stay with the wheat, neither can the sinner stand with the righteous. It will be completely separated out. Psalm 37:20 says this, "But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke." So the enemies of the Lord will be taken care of. They'll be cast away. We don't have to worry about them. So what are the benefits of meditating on the Word of God? One thing that we see is that it's a continuous nourishment, the production of fruit and growth in our lives as we meditate on the Word of God. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says this, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Even in the tough times, we're planted in the Word, we will have nourishment. We don't have to worry about the tough times. God is with us. God will make us prosper. God will keep our signs of life going as we trust in His Word. Psalm 92:12-14 kind of reinforces this, and it says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green." And are green. In Joshua 1:8, we have this exhortation about being in the Word of God. "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So what does it mean to be prosperous? Does it mean you're going to get a lot of money? Does it mean you're going to acquire a lot of property? What does it mean to be prosperous? I think it means a lot more than that. It goes to the root of our existence. As we are in the Word of God, we can learn how to love others more effectively. We can serve others more efficiently, more effectively. We can reach out to people with love and show mercy and show grace. How many people here think that they've arrived at the final end of their growth in their Christian life? None of us can say that. The Christian life is a continual process of growth and development. If we find ourselves in a stagnant area where we're not growing, time frame when we're not growing, then I think we need to do some soul searching. We need to get back into the Word of God. We need to get into prayer. We need to do some things to reconnect and make sure that we're following the things that God has desired for us. The key for us is being and growing in the Word of God. James 1:22-25 says this, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." The Word of God has to permeate us thoroughly. It has to affect not only just our mind, but it has to affect what we do. When it talks about the leaf that does not wither, it shows signs of life. I think if we are in the Word of God and we become doers of the Word of God, people always see life within us. And we need to be we need to be intentional in reading the Word of God and then allowing it to affect our actions. We've all looked in the mirror, left it, and then went, "Oh, did I straighten out that one little hair on the top of my head?" And we go back. We all need to be looking in the Word of God and letting it produce life within us. In Proverbs 6, we read this, "My son, keep your father's commandments and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you." Picture of someone that has intensely looked at the Word of God and allowed it to be in their life. The Word of God is powerful. It can help us in every situation that we're in. We need to be there and listening to it and doing what it says. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, "Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman not to be ashamed, knowing how to handle the word of truth." We need to be dedicated into the Word of God on a regular basis. If we want to delight ourselves, we need to go to the Word of God. If we want to be prosperous, we need to go to the Word of God and apply it in our lives. Just a few final thoughts. Mark mentioned this, that we started this study, Heaven, It's Not What You Think. And then starting next week here on Sunday morning, we're going to be going through a series called Eternal Destinies. And we're going to be looking at heaven and hell there. All of us have preconceived notions of heaven and of hell, of who goes, who doesn't go, what it's like when we get there, what it's like in hell for those who are there. We need to get into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to shape our minds on those two subjects. We can't rely on books, movies, or whatever. We need to look intently into the Word of God and allow it to shape our thoughts on what heaven is like and what hell is like. And as we go through these series, I would encourage you to write down the questions that you have or the preconceived notions that you have about heaven and hell. Write them down. Go home today. Write down those things. What do you really believe about heaven? What do you really believe about hell? And then as we go through these studies, check them off if they get answered. If they don't get answered, ask them the last week of the series when we're going to do a panel up front and try to answer some of the unanswered questions. But it's important that we look at the Word of God and allow it to shape our thoughts on these two subjects. We need to hold true to what the Scripture says. And each one of us needs to be willing to let go of our preconceived thoughts if they don't match up with Scripture. I personally think at the end of the study, we probably all will have more questions that will force us to get into the Word even more. So if you want to delight yourselves, get into the Word of God. If you want to see your life changed, get into the Word of God. Allow it to work and produce life in you. And allow it to produce fruit in your life that other people can see. So let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we are truly thankful that you have given us your Word, that it is a source of information about you, about how we should live, how we should love others, how we can show mercy and grace like you've shown to us. Father, the importance of knowing and following you is more than I can even grasp, I think, at times. But we want to be people that follow you, that your Word is our lamp, that we do the things that it says. We obey and we bring glory to you. So as we go through this week and as we go through these studies over the next 4 to 6 weeks, I just really pray, Father, that you work in our lives, you encourage us, and you produce life within us. It's in your Son's Jesus' name that we ask these things, and we look forward to you working in our lives. Amen. So if you're not in a 1A group and you want to be involved in this study, look through that bulletin and find one that you can go to. And then we'll all have a lot of questions in 4 to 6 weeks that we need to have answered. And let the Word of God guide you as you go through these weeks. Okay, see you guys next week. Charles will be here to start that study on eternal destinies.